Good evening, brethren.
Good evening.
What a blessing to be in God's house again on this third night of the three-night meeting. I've had a ball here, and God's blessed me to be happy in the Lord and to try to preach to you. I hope I have. I pray that God's been pleased and you and I have been edified and instructed in the Word of God. That's my prayer, that I've been a messenger boy from God and will tonight also, I pray. I want to echo Brother Edwards' words and thanks to you all, the church, and for your hospitality. I've enjoyed great fellowship with you, wonderful food, wonderful cooking all three nights. First two nights here at the church, it was wonderful. And then tonight with Brother Van and Sister Donna, thank you so much. We had a good time of fellowship and food in your home. Thank you for hosting us. Thank you, choir, for your specials and your hard work and practicing and singing, making melody to the Lord and singing to the praise and glory of God. Thank you, brothers and sisters in Christ, for being here and for praying for me. Thank you, Sturgeon Creek family, for supporting your pastor. Jan commented to me as I was about to come up here in the stand that it was so good for you all being here with us, and it is. And thank you. Thank you, sister churches and that are supporting the meeting. Brother Edwards said, you know, he just liked being in church, and we talked about that some last night. It's a blessing. I'm thankful to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ in the earth. There's nothing better this side of heaven than being with brethren in Christ and worshiping the one true and living God together. I have tried to bring messages this week about thanksgiving, giving of thanks. Because we're in that season that we call in our country Thanksgiving, and we noted that we're God's people are to be thankful always, and I'm going to try to bring you another lesson tonight about being thankful. The first night we went to the verse that where Paul wrote, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And I've been trying to, as I wake in the morning time, I try to pray first, and Jan and I have a devotion we read. We have a little verse that pops up on our phone, and we read the verse, and then I have a devotion app on there that I read in the morning. We read it together, and then we pray, and I've tried to say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I've tried to give thanks, first of all, to God for his son, Christ Jesus. And that was our lesson on Tuesday night. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, writes, giving thanks for God's unspeakable gift, his unutterable, his indescribable gift of God the Son. His coming to earth, his incarnation, his being made flesh and dwelling among us. His sacrifice, his finished work of our salvation, the gift beyond words, greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell, goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. But we can't tell it, we can't exhaust it, we can't adequately describe it, but brethren, men and women through the ages have tried, and I tried a couple of nights ago, and it's good to do that, brethren. So it's a good exercise, of course, to give thanks for God's unspeakable gift. In trying and in the telling of it about God's unspeakable gift, there lies a blessing. There lies a blessing. It makes us aware, more aware, keenly aware, and more thankful of what God's done. The second lesson last night came from 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Thanksgiving, Paul again, giving thanks for the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. And I, in studying that, and looking up the word thanks and studying the epistles of Paul, just in almost every one of them, he gives thanks for the church of Jesus Christ. He was instrumental in founding a lot of the churches of Jesus Christ. We talked about Jesus being the head of the church. And if he's not the head, brethren, it's not the church of Jesus Christ. And if he is the head, then the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. And he told his disciples, he said, when Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus says, "That's the principle upon which I build my church." And what a blessed privilege, brethren, to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. He must be the head. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. When you see falsehood and related things in our society today, know this. You can come to this place, brethren, and when the pastor stands and reads from the Word of God, it's the truth. It's the truth and nothing else. It's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what it is. You are in this church and you're a part of the called out. You're called from death into life. You're called out of the world into the service of the one true and living God in the church of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing to be in it. And Paul, in those two scriptures we addressed last night, he thanked God for the church and he told the Thessalonians how they came to be in the church of Jesus Christ, how they were sanctified, set apart for a holy purpose, how they were redeemed, how they were born again, and how they had been placed in the church of Jesus Christ. We talked about the church universal, the church worldwide is made up of all born again believers. And then we talked about then Paul in the very beginning of that letter to the Thessalonians, he said, "I thank God for you that your faith grows exceedingly and that your charity abounds." He paid them a compliment. He thanked God for them. And I said to you, and I know the churches that are here, and I thank God for you. You here in this church, in this local body, and those of you who are here to worship tonight, that your faith grows and your charity abounds to one another. That is something, brethren, to be, for which to be thankful. Tonight, brethren, again, Thanksgiving, I want us to go, please, to Colossians. Would you turn to the letter to the church at Colossae, written by the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, all Scripture being given by inspiration of God, and is profitable to us. And may we profit from this tonight. Profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And tonight, primarily I think this verse is an instruction in right living, an instruction in doing the right thing, an instruction in a practical righteousness that you and I can have if we follow the Word of God. The directives, the admonitions in the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Short verse, and we're going to look at the final phrase in that verse. I'm going to read the whole verse. As the Word of God says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body." And this is this phrase right here, these four words, brethren, is what I want us to think about tonight primarily. "And be ye thankful." The past two nights, brethren, I've tried to prioritize what we ought to be thankful for. To me, the two most important things, the first night, the most important thing, God's unspeakable gift. The second night, the second most important thing, at least in my mind, the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. And tonight, brethren, be thankful for anything else. All kinds of blessings come to us. Brother Paul prayed in his prayer. He acknowledged to God. He said, "We have so much to be thankful for," and we do. And tonight I want to speak to you about being thankful and the process of being thankful, how to become thankful, how to stay thankful, what we ought to be doing. Be ye thankful. Pray, brethren, pray with me. Oh, Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to be in your house. I thank you for your unspeakable gift. I thank you, Father, for a privilege to be a part of the Church of Jesus Christ in the earth. I thank you that I'm able to be here tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity to try to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh God, give me liberty to preach, I beg you, so that you'd get honor and glory, oh God, and that your people, and me included, would be edified, instructed in the Word, better able to serve you, more thankful, oh God, as you tell us over and over in your Word.
Oh God, direct my thoughts, please, and my words, I beg you. I thank you for this place, oh Lord, and the time to be here. Bless each one of us. I thank you for the presence of everyone, oh God, and their prayers and their attention. Oh Lord, may we put out of our minds the things of the world, and may we make a conscious, a valued effort, oh God, to hear the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray your unspeakable gift to us, and for his sake, amen.
Again tonight, the words of the Apostle Paul, and be ye thankful. We define thanks the last couple of nights, the term thanks as kindly or grateful thoughts. They come first, and then an expression of gratitude, a verbal expression of gratitude. Thoughts first, they enter our mind, we think of something we receive, something good, and every good gift, you know, and every perfect gift comes from God. Kindly or grateful thoughts first, and then an expression of gratitude. Being thankful, brethren, can be... God doesn't tell us in His Word ever to do something that we can't do. He gives us the grace to do it. And Paul here admonishes us to be thankful. So therefore, being thankful, brethren, can be and must be cultivated. As one would cultivate a garden or a field or a potted plant, it has to be nourished and nurtured and practiced upon. We grow to be thankful by thinking of our blessings. Those good blessings that come from God. Every good gift comes from Him. We become thankful by thinking, enumerating, listing our good gifts, our blessings. Then we express our gratitude to the giver of those good gifts, and that's God. When we do this, brethren, we're blessed. I think I said this last night or the night before. I heard a preacher on the radio just in the last couple of weeks say, thankful people are happy people. And that's right. I guess I knew that, but I'd never meditated much on it. But brethren, that's right. If you talk to someone who has a heart of gratitude and is thankful, that's a happy person. That's a contented person generally. They're happy. Godliness with contentment is great gain, we're told in the Word of God. Thankful people are happy people. And when we give thanks, brethren, God is pleased and He's glorified. We have grateful thoughts and we express them. That's thanksgiving. That's giving of thanks. Then the term thanksgiving, brethren, becomes more than just a day on the calendar. More than just a generic term, a plain vanilla term. And I've used it like that, thanksgiving. What are you going to do for Thanksgiving? Where are we going to be Thanksgiving? What are we doing this Thanksgiving? And in that I just mean, well, what on that fourth Thursday in November, where are we going to celebrate? Where are we going to gather up? Where are we going to eat our food? And that's a blessing from God. It's a good gift from God. But brethren, if we're thankful in the way that Paul urges us to, if we're thankful for God's unspeakable gift, if we're thankful for being in the Church of Jesus Christ, we're properly thankful. Yeah. And that day becomes more than just a generic day on the calendar. It becomes a way of thinking, a way of living, a characteristic of our lives. My grandfather on my dad's side was a pastor, and we used to eat Sunday lunch with him sometimes when I was a boy. And I remember granddaddy would call on my dad or one of the other brothers of his, my uncles, to what I usually say, ask the blessing. But Granddaddy Devane wouldn't say, ask the blessing. He would say, Jimmy, return thanks for us. Return thanks for us. And it's all right to say, ask the blessing. Jesus blessed the bread as He broke it. It's all right. That's all right too. But there's something to be said for saying, give thanks for this. Return thanks for this. Psalm 68 verse 19 says this, brethren. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. The psalmist, I think when he wrote that, brethren, was inspired to write that. He said he's giving praise to God, he's giving thanks to God for those daily benefits that he received. And then he adds to that, even the God of our salvation. I think maybe he thought on the heels of, he said, God daily loads us with benefits, and when he added even the God of our salvation, he must have thought about salvation at that time. And that's one of the benefits, isn't it? That's the greatest benefit. That's the greatest benefit. Blessed is the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. I've told you the last couple of nights that these sermons that I'm trying to present to you and preach in honor of God, I preached them at my home church the last 3 Sundays now, and this is the most recent one. And so last Sunday, I was there and preaching, and I cited this verse, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. And I said this, I said, when I was a boy, I have a brother that's 14 months older than me. We had a fireplace at our house, and that was one of our main sources of heat. Had a floor furnace too, but we all loved the fireplace, and we'd go out in the late summer and cut wood, gather wood, and we'd have a wood pile, and we'd go with Daddy late in the afternoon out there to the wood pile, and he would have split the wood when we were too young to split it, and he would load us. Like this, we would stand in front of Daddy. Y'all, you have done that. Probably every one of us in here have done that. And he would load us with firewood. And we boys, the two of us, we want him to load us up. Get my chin up. He'd put it right there. He just keep loading me with the firewood. We take it to the wood house, which was built onto the house by the fireplace. You could put it in from the outside and get it out from the inside. Didn't have to go outside to get it. And Daddy loaded us daily with that firewood. And I think of that often when I read that verse. God daily loads us with benefits. Think about that, brethren. And I said Sunday to the folks at our home church, I said, God's already, it was probably 11:30 by then. And I said, God's already loaded me today with benefits. He's already loaded me up. And I said, for one thing, I said, I woke up this morning and I was about to say what the benefit was, and then I realized it was a benefit to wake up that morning, right? I woke up this morning. I said, I woke up and so and so, and then I said, wait a minute. The fact that I woke up is a blessing. I woke, brethren, with a lady that God's given to me. I woke with her in my arms, and she's warm and tender and loving. That's a benefit. And she loves God. That's a benefit. She loves God like I do. That's a benefit, brethren. And we had prayer and we had a devotion time. And then we had breakfast. That's a benefit, brethren. I went to the pantry and got out the food, and my pantry runs over. That's a benefit God's given me, brethren. I had a roof over my head. The heat came on because it was chilly. All you have to do is go to the thermostat, right, Brother Everett? That's all you got to do. What about it? How good do we have it? Food, clothing, shelter. I came to the church. I have the blessed privilege of trying to preach the gospel. I have this right here. I have this book we call the Holy Bible, the Word of God. I have that to read. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, never changes. Never, no error. It's inerrant. And you can plumb the depths of it, brethren. There's the one that's spoken about in here, Christ Jesus, his unspeakable gift. You can read about him in here, and the Holy Spirit of God in you will teach you about him and testify to you about him. That's a benefit, brethren. That's a benefit. There's a church, I live in Fitzgerald, but I have a place still in Waycross, and I go through Douglas sometimes, and there's a church on the edge of town, on the south side of town, on 158. It's a church, and it's an Hispanic church, if I'm not mistaken, but they've got a, on their church sign, it says, Jesus is the answer. And oftentimes I look at that and I say, well, what is the question? And then the next thought in my mind is, don't matter what the question is, Jesus is the answer. Right? Right? That's a blessing, brethren. That's a benefit. That Jesus knows all about it. He will guide till the day is done. We have the victory in Jesus. God giveth us the victory. There's a benefit, brethren. There's an eternal benefit and a daily benefit too. Oh, brethren, do God daily loads us with benefits. And I urge you, brethren, I ask you to to sit down with a pencil or pen and a piece of blank paper and start listing the benefits. If you want to list them in order of priority, I suggest that God's unspeakable gift would be on the first line, and then maybe the Church of Jesus Christ, and after that, you're free. You're free to list whatever you want to. But I suggest those are the first two, but it's not a test, brethren. Just list them. Just list them. In the listing of those benefits, brethren, there's great blessings to be had. And God gets glory from that. Because Paul says, be ye thankful. I want to go now to 1 Chronicles, brethren. The 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. At Surgeon Creek, we do a responsive reading on Sunday mornings. I look in the back of the hymnal, latest hymns of grace. And there are responsive readings in there, and we read the Word of God together. But the last three Sundays, brethren, I've used this as our, I said to the folks, I'm going to read it all today. We're not going to do a responsive reading. I'm going to read it all. And this is what I've been reading, brethren. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, this is what I've been reading. I'm going to read 4 or 5 verses here for you. The Word of God says, beginning in verse 7, chapter 16, 1 Chronicles, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. That's the introduction to this. That's a little historical background. It says, David delivered this psalm to thank the Lord. What was the purpose of it? To thank the Lord. And he delivered it into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And the psalm begins in verse 8. And we don't read the whole psalm, but just a few verses. And by the way, this is also numbered Psalm 105 in your Bibles. And another psalm, I can't remember which one it is, but 105 contains part of this. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. Oh, who is David talking to? Verse 13 tells us, O ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. The ones that He chose to give salvation to. We talked about last night. It's how you get in the church. It's how you get to the eternal heaven. God chooses you. He makes a choice. From before the foundation of the world, He made a choice. And David knew that. And he says, I'm talking to you, seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. That's been our call to worship the last three Sundays over at Sturgeon Creek. And God doesn't change my mind. It's going to be the sermon for this Sunday. Just look at these verses very briefly, brethren. David, he wrote that psalm. He was inspired of God to write this psalm on that day. What was special about that day? Well, the Ark of the Covenant had been brought to the city of David that very day. Sometime before, David was going to bring it, and you remember there was a tragedy. It rocked, and Uzzah put out his hand, and God struck him dead. And they said, we better leave this thing right here. But later on, David prayed, and he did it right that time. He sought God's direction, and God blessed the Ark of the Covenant to come to Jerusalem. And David was a happy man on that day. He was the king in Israel. He was a happy man because God had not, I guess, because God had not struck anybody down, but God had allowed the ark to come to Jerusalem. And David had made a tent for it. And on that day, he wrote this psalm, give thanks unto the Lord. And that's our theme this week, isn't it? That's our theme this month. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Oh brethren, I urge you to read this psalm in its entirety. Because David, brethren, he makes known many of the deeds of God. He rehearses them out. He writes about them. All many things that God's done for His people. And he says, sing unto Him. Choir, for 3 nights now, as y'all have sung. You can't see me. I'm sitting over here, but I'm watching you. I'm watching you. I'm watching you sing unto God. And it's a blessing to me. It's partly a blessing because I know you put aside things of, in your life, and you come here to this building down the hall there, and you get in there and you practice because you love God and you're thankful to God. And I watch you and I thank God for that. Choir, the choir director and the piano player, thank you, thank you. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Listen to this. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Well, I'm a preacher, and I try to study the Word of God, and I could name a lot of the wondrous works of God that are contained in the Bible. I couldn't name them all. But I don't think that David is just talking about the wonderful works of God, bringing the Israelites through the Red Sea, crossing Jordan, the plagues on Egypt, giving them the land of Canaan, all those wonderful things, feeding them with the bread of heaven day by day, manna. Giving them quail in the wilderness, giving them water from the rock, giving them a cloud by day and a fire by night. Wondrous works. I think David maybe is talking about those, referring to those, but brethren, you know what? He's done some wondrous works in my life. Has he in yours? Talk about them, brethren. Talk about them. Talk about them to your children and your grandchildren and your spouse and your kinfolks. And talk about them in here. Talk about them in here. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done. You see, there's that cognitive function that God tells us to do. Think about it and then speak about it. Think about them. Write them down. Remember them. Remember what God's done for you. His wonders. And the judgments of His mouth. And who's He talking to? Oh, ye seed of Israel. Now David, brethren, was writing to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, when he wrote this. But you know what Paul said again, Paul did some writing about that. Israel now is the Israel, spiritual Israel. And that's you and that's me. Jews inwardly. Not just some of those that are Jews outwardly. Oh, ye seed of Israel, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen ones. I guess if I were making lists right now, number one would be God's unspeakable gift. Item two would be the church of Jesus Christ. And item three would be, you chose me, God, you chose me. A good feeling to be chosen. I said that a couple nights ago or last night. It's good to be chosen. I started to tell this and I didn't, but I will now. When I was in about the sixth grade, fifth, sixth, seventh grade, somewhere in there, we at PE, we played softball. That's what we did. And every time we played, we chose up sides. Every day it was to choose sides again. You know how that works. And see, and the two boys that were the most popular and about the best athletes, they were on opposite teams, and they chose every day. They chose. And of course, we all want to be chosen, don't we? And, I didn't get chosen first. I know the folks at Sturgeon Creek know this. I've told them a lot. I wasn't the best athlete. You probably can look at me and tell that. But when they finally choose me, I wasn't dead last either, but I was in the kind of the thundering herd of the lower third there. But finally, brethren, when they, I'll take Mike, they'd say, that's a good feeling. I could leave the pool over here and get on the team. What a blessing to be chosen, brethren. But oh, that's nothing, is it, compared to when we can say God chose me from before the foundation of the world. I thank God that He didn't choose me based on my ability or my looks or my what I was going to do. Or thank God He chose me just in His pure, sovereign will and grace. He chose me. And then He told me about it as I got older. He made it known to me. Thank God for that. Chosen seed of Israel. Okay, giving of thanks. After this, I'm not going to go to the verse for the interest of time, but you know what else David did, brethren? As king of Israel, he, on that day, brethren, David had a Thanksgiving celebration. He had a Thanksgiving dinner that day. You ought to read that. Read that. Read that in that there in Chronicles. Read that. It says that he gave everyone, I can't quote it exactly, but he gave them a piece of bread, a loaf of bread, and he gave them it says something like a good piece of meat and a flagon of wine. When you hear the teacher at school say, let's talk about the first Thanksgiving and the pilgrims and the Native Americans. He said, that wasn't the first Thanksgiving, teacher. Go to Chronicles, go to First Chronicles. Let's read about that. David, brethren, had a, he wrote a psalm. He gave a feast. And then, brethren, he assigned individuals, I think they were Levites, to, you know what their job was? Morning and evening, their job was to stand and give thanks to God. Think about that, brethren. Think about that. In a way, it seems a little forced, doesn't it? That they say, your job is to give thanks. Okay, all right, and it's like you got to pray in the Spirit. You got to need to give thanks in the Spirit. But David, brethren, he didn't want God to go unthanked. He wanted God to be thanked and God to be recognized. David was doing it himself, but he'd be over at his house, I guess, or the palace, wherever he was. He wanted to know that there was Thanksgiving going on in Jerusalem. And that, I don't think I have the site on that. 1 Chronicles 23:30. 1 Chronicles 23:30. These men were to stand every morning and evening to thank and to praise the Lord. That was their job. And that's our job, brethren. That's our privilege to do that. It's our duty to do that. David didn't want God to be unthanked. One more illustration from my past. When our children were little, I know I've told you folks at Sturgeon Creek this. I don't know if I have told y'all this, but my wife and I had three children, and when they were little, we'd go to her parents and my parents at Christmas time. We'd hit both of them. New Year, Christmas Eve, her parents. Christmas Day, my parents. And before we got to either house, we'd be a mile or two from there. The children would be playing. They'd be rambunctious and ready to go. And my wife said, be quiet. I want to tell you something. You know what she'd say? When somebody gives you a gift, you go to them and you thank them for that gift. She didn't say, if you like it, thank them. Or if you want to, she said, you thank them for that gift. She wanted them to be thankful. She wanted to express their thanks. And God, brethren, gives us gifts, loads us with benefits daily, and we ought to thank Him daily, at least morning and evening. Be thankful. Be thankful. Let it be a part of how you live. Jesus gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks a number of times in the Scriptures. I won't turn to them, but at the tomb of Lazarus, He gave thanks to God the Father for hearing His prayer. He gave thanks before He broke the bread and the miracles. He gave thanks a number of times. And the lesson in that, a lesson in that, brethren, is if Jesus gave thanks, what does that say about us, what we ought to do? Jesus gave thanks. It is a good thing to give thanks. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 100, I'm not going to go there. We went there last night, but Psalm, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. To me, that applies primarily to coming in the door right there. When you come in the door, you need to come in with a thankful heart and praising God. That's one of my favorite Psalms, that 100 right there. Now, brethren, in closing, I think I have two or three scriptures to go to. I'm going to go to them fast. I'm going to go to Luke. Brother Paul just about stole my thunder on this when he was praying. You know what he said? Brother Paul said, where are the nine? You remember that, Brother Paul? You said that in your prayer. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, brethren, listen to this. Be ye thankful, says the Apostle Paul. Jesus says this in Luke 17, verse 11. It says this about Jesus. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Why'd they stand afar off? They couldn't come up to people who didn't have leprosy. They had to stay back. They were quarantined for life because leprosy was incurable. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. There's a fervent prayer right there, brethren. They're praying for God to be merciful to them, Jesus to be merciful. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Sounds like an odd thing to tell them to do. But brethren, when you read the Old Testament and the Levitical law, when somebody had leprosy, something started breaking out on them, they had to go to the priest. He would diagnose it. He was trained in whether it was, he'd sometimes quarantine them and say, come back in a few days. Tells you how many days, I think they watch it. And the priest pronounced the diagnosis on them. This is not leprosy. This is leprosy. They had to show themselves to the priest. That's why Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. One reason. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Beautiful, isn't it? 10 of them headed to the temple to see the priest. They're walking along and they look at themselves, I guess, and they realize, I'm clean. I'm healed. 10 of them. And one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him what? Thanks. Oh yeah. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? As Brother Paul Thomas said in his prayer, but where are the 9? Now, I cited that verse on Sunday, brethren, right just a few miles over there. And I said to the folks there, I want to be in the 10%. I don't want to be in the 90%. I want to be in the 10%. I want to be thankful. I want to thank God. I want to thank Jesus for cleansing me. I want to thank him. I want to fall at his feet. Because, brethren, I was a Samaritan. I was an outcast. A Samaritan was an outcast in Israel. He was an outcast. Outcast of society. He was a double outcast. Not only was he an outcast because of his lineage, he was an outcast because he had leprosy. And Jesus heals him, brethren. And he was thankful. He was thankful. He had that mental process going on that says something good has happened to me. And then, brethren, he expressed it. He fell at the feet of Jesus. Don't be in that 90 percentile there, brethren. That's not a good place to be. Okay, two more sites and we're through. 2 Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and 3, I think. This know, this is Paul again. He's writing to the young preacher Timothy. Paul, the apostle, writes, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I think it was the first night here, Brother Edward, maybe tonight or last night too, Brother Edward just says, we live in perilous times. We live in troubled times. You all, he doesn't have to tell you that for you to know it. You know it already, but he cited it. We're in the last days, brethren. The last days, to me, by definition, is the last day, the days since Jesus came to earth and returned to heaven. We're now in the last days. How many more last days or how long they'll last? I know not, nor not as anyone else. And I don't want to venture a guess on that. But Paul is saying that in the days in which we're living, this know this, Timothy. Men, verse 2, shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. What's the next one? Unthankful. Men generally are going to be unthankful in the days in which we live. Maybe that's that 90% out there that are unthankful. But don't you be in that, brethren. Don't you be in this description right here. Be ye thankful, as Paul says to us and to the church at Colossae. Be thankful. Last scripture, brethren. Last scripture is the last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 9. This is a vision of the Apostle John. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God gave him a vision here, and he wrote it down. He recorded it for us. And it's a vision, brethren, of some people and they're doing what I've been urging you and me and all of us to do the last three nights. They're giving thanks. Watch this. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. What did I say about the church universal? They're all over the world. We're in a local church here, and thank God for that. But God has a people all over. These are standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. They've been sanctified, brethren. They've been set apart. They've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. They've been saved by God's unspeakable gift. And they have palms in their hands. They have the victory in Jesus. A palm frond represents victory, brethren. And they have the victory through Jesus Christ. And this group cries with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God. They fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God. We just talked about a man who fell before Jesus, and praised Him, and thanked Him. And this group of people, brethren, they're saying, verse 12, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and what? Thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." You have, brethren, the responsibility. You have the opportunity. You have the blessed privilege of falling before God and His unspeakable gift and giving Him thanks. The Scriptures urge us to do it, and we ought to be doing it, brethren. And my prayer is, today's Thursday. This day of the week is Thursday. This time next week, Thanksgiving lunch will have come and gone, God willing. If the Lord hadn't come back by then. I hope, brethren, that I will have been more thankful this year than ever I've been. And I hope you will. I hope you'll have that mental process of thinking about what God's done, His wondrous works for you and for His people, for our country. And then I hope, brethren, you'll express it. That's what thanks is, and that's what Thanksgiving is. God bless you and me to do it. Our Father in heaven, thank you. We fall before you, O God, and thank you for your unspeakable gift. We thank you, Father, for the privilege to be in the church of Jesus Christ in the earth. Make us thankful people, O God. As Paul admonishes us to do, be ye thankful. Oh Lord, let it be our priority in these days to come. We thank you, oh God, for all. I thank you for this meeting. I pray, oh God, that you bless me to preach your word. I pray that you'll add your blessing to it, oh God, and that I've said what's right. I thank you for everyone that's come here. I thank you for the hospitality. Most of all, I thank you for your unspeakable gift, O God. In His name we pray. Amen. Forever.